This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
He started talking about prayer. We have been dealing with the issue of prayer because the Lord is leading us to get to a deeper place in prayer with God. Amen. And we started talking about prayer from last week. During the midweek on Wednesday, we've been dealing with the issue of prayer, and I'm continuing to talk about prayer today and however long it takes us to pray. And the purpose of dealing with the issue of prayer, it looks so basic, but it is number one, so that the person that doesn't pray can begin to pray, can have a passion to start praying. Amen. Number two, if maybe you pray but your prayer life needs some help, is that you can move up to the next level. Amen. Number three, maybe you were already a person of prayer. You can desire and determine to go to the next level in prayer. Amen. So the whole purpose of talking about prayer is to rekindle the awareness of prayer in our lives, to rekindle the importance of prayer in our lives, to bring a shift in our walk with God. Amen. You see, prayer, friends, is our primary means of communication with God. Hallelujah. I ask that you just stay with me, pay attention. Because many times the enemy will come and just bring confusion, especially when you're dealing with issues of prayer, you're dealing with issues that affect your spiritual destiny. There will always be distractions. The Bible says that we must not be ignorant of the devices of Satan. Amen. And particularly when you're dealing with issues of prayer, one thing I have found is that a Christian, the devil is challenged to stop a Christian from being a Christian. But what he will do in your life is that he will derail your productivity in Jesus. Amen. He will derail your fruitfulness. And when he derails your fruitfulness, you call yourself a Christian, but you'll be a very frustrated Christian. You call yourself a Christian, but you will be just on the periphery of what God is doing you in life. And the primary means of transference of God's power in the life of a child of God is prayer. Amen. The primary means of a life of God in a believer, it is prayer. Amen. That is why you notice Jesus began to speak and he says, do not give up on prayer. Do not give up on prayer. And also when we look at the life of Jesus through the Gospels, we find that Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. So because Jesus was a person of prayer, you also must become a person of prayer. Child of God, prayer is our primary means of communicating with God and is the foundation of any fruitful Christian walk with God. I don't know if you will notice this. Today, prayer has been lost in the child of God's life. Prayer has been lost in a Christian's life. We are looking for the prophecy. We are looking for miracles. We are looking for the things that do not satisfy in life. We are looking for breakthroughs. The only thing today a child of God is looking for is for a breakthrough. The only thing a child is looking for today is what is the Lord saying. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with prophecy. Nothing wrong with miracles. Nothing wrong with breakthroughs. These are a part of your life as a child of God. Amen. However, the prophecy is birthed out of prayer. Miracles are birthed out of prayer. Breakthroughs are birthed out of prayer. Fruitful Christian living is birthed out of prayer. Therefore, it is important that this very practice of prayer must be practiced. Now, if it is so important, why is it that many a Christian have been derailed from prayer? It is because, friends, it takes effort to pray. Hallelujah. It takes effort to pray. You see, for a lot of us, prayer has been limited to the dinner table. Or a quick prayer recital at bedtime. Lord, as I sleep, something. I remember this little prayer when I was a child. Lay me down to bed. If I die before I wake, make sure, Lord, I'm found in your arms. Amen. And many of us have perfected that. I remember growing up at lunchtime, dinner time, it's the same prayer. Lord, bless my food. Amen. Lord, bless my food. Amen. Many of us, I have seen us, we recite these prayers and say, I prayed for my food. Your food is already on the spoon, is already in the mouth. I'm bless my food. Amen. Why? Because it has become a habit and there is no connection with the one we are praying to. And you just say, I have prayed. And guess what? The enemy wants to make you feel like you have prayed. You know, you are spiritual and you have prayed. Hallelujah. You see, that is why in the Jewish tradition, prayer for the meal was never made before you eat. Prayer for the meal was made after you've eaten. It is made after you've eaten. Why? Because it was a training to make sure that you'll be able to thank God after you're full. Because many times when we are full, we forget God. We forget the things that happen. When we receive our breakthroughs, we forget. When we receive a word from the Lord, we forget. We forget that we still need to go back to God. Hallelujah. So it is very, very important, friends, about prayer, that you and I need to go back to basics. It is important that we need to go back and ask ourselves, how is my prayer life? Remember what I said, the purpose of this teaching on prayer over the last couple of weeks and the following, I don't know whenever, the purpose of prayer, friends, number one is that if you do not pray, this is not a condemnation. Amen. If you do not pray, it is a time to do what? To desire to start praying. Amen. If you are a prayer contractor, like I talked about last week, it is your desire, it must become your desire and your passion to start to pray. And if you feel like you're praying enough, it is a good time to check yourself and ask yourself, am I praying effectively as I ought to pray? Amen. Because one of the things I have found with Christians and children of God is that we often find ourselves in a place where we become self-defensive. But I pray. What's wrong with you? You think I don't pray? I pray. But inside your heart, you know that your prayer life needs some, what are those things? Jumper cables to restart the thing. Or maybe we pray. One thing I have also found is that a child of God, particularly when I was growing up in my Christian faith, and I found that this is the same even in this season, is that the people that feel like they pray a lot, they look down on people that don't pray. As if they are there in their private lives. Just because you don't see me jumping and shouting in church does not mean I don't pray. And many times my jumping and shouting in church may also mean that I have no private prayer life. And so I when I come into the house of God, I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I mean, you know, Pastor C, I love to jump and pray. I love to scream. I love to shout. That's the way I love to pray. But for many of us, we want to show our prayer time in the house of God. The Bible teaches us, and we talked about this last week, that the Pharisees, they did what? They made public and long prayers. And yet Jesus called them hypocrites. Look at somebody and say, don't be a hypocrite. Look at them carefully. They may just punch you. Let's look at somebody and say, don't be a hypocrite. Develop a prayer life. Develop a prayer life. You see, because of our challenges in prayer, many of us, we have seen very little of God's awesome presence. And we have seen very little of his hand at work. Yes, we have seen it and we have heard it happen for others. But we are always at the edge of what God is doing. It is time to change that by making your prayer life a primary priority in life. Amen. Now, remember what I said last week. It is not wrong to ask someone to pray for you. Amen. It is very biblical. That's why even the Apostle Paul was always writing and saying what? Pray for me. This is my situation. Pray for me. So it is very biblical to have a prayer request. But what I was saying last week is that, because I think somebody misunderstood me. What I was saying was that many of us, we have specialized in asking other people to pray for us, but we don't pray ourselves. Ah. Amen. So on Wednesday, we spent some time talking about some hindrances to prayer. Some of the reasons why we are limited in prayer. So if you missed Wednesday, I don't know how you'll get that teaching again. But I'm not going to talk about the hindrances in prayer. But one thing I want you to know, friends, is that if you don't have a prayer life, you're a powerless Christian. It doesn't matter how nice you look. It doesn't matter how great you read your Bible. It doesn't matter how smooth you talk. If you don't have a prayer life, you're a powerless Christian. Amen. Powerless. I'll repeat that. If you don't have a prayer life, you're a powerless Christian. I know this by experience. And it is very important for you and me to understand that prayer is key in our lives. Some of you right now may be saying, Pastor, I already know that. Yes, you do, but do you practice it? If we came into your closet to really look at your prayer life, by the grace of God, maybe on Wednesday or Sunday, we'll be talking about the ingredients to prayer. Because for many of us, our prayer life is limited to God, do this for me. God, do this for me. I mean, if we are honest and we go through the room, beginning with the speaker, 95% of our prayers have to do with our feelings, our desires, and what we want. Maybe 5%, probably 98% for some of us. Maybe 5% have to do with pray for my family, pray for the country, or pray for this. But for most of us, it is all about me. God, break through for me in this. God, do this for me. God, have your way with this in me. But we need to ask ourselves, is that what God has designed prayer for? Is that what God wants you to have in life? Hallelujah. I remember one time a pastor was talking on TV about prayer. Very prominent pastor. And they said that they pray for 15 minutes every day. 15 minutes. Somebody say 15. 15 minutes. I remember it looked like, I'm like, 15? They pray for 15 minutes every day. I said, is that like, I don't know whether they meant they pray 15 minutes, probably, but they said no, they pray for 15 minutes. This was many years ago, probably 15, 17 years ago. And I looked at this great servant of God teaching on the TV and I said, and here I am pushing myself to pray for an hour every day. Only, maybe I only need to pray for 15. But when you begin to have an experience with God, child of God, you will find that 15 minutes is just preamble. 15 minutes is just introduction in the presence of God. When we began to talk about prayer, when I was learning on prayer, I went back to when I was learning about prayer. I remember my very first experience with a prayer night. I promised that I'll try and keep myself on track today. But hey. So anyway, I went on my first experience of this prayer night, and they said, let us begin to pray. I was, first of all, the only thing that was in my mind was how long, for me to last. Because those days when we say prayer night, it wasn't like how you come in at 9 and you're done by 11 p.m. No. We used to finish at 6 in the morning and just dress up and go to work. That's how our prayer night used to be. So my first experience was, oh my gosh, how will I last? And then they said, well, we'll just pray for about 20 minutes to start the meeting. I think I had prayed for like 3 minutes and I was done. I was done. And then I was watching the others, and that's when they are still in forgiveness. I said, in 30 seconds, I asked God to forgive me. In another 30, I had said, praise the Lord. By the time I was in 3 minutes, I'd even asked for all my needs, and I was done. And I said, from that day, I said, Lord, help me to develop a prayer life. It really hit me so bad that that whole night I still remember that I don't think I really heard anything else that was said, because my heart was just so grieved that a God I had loved so much, a God who died for me, I could not spend time to talk to him. Can you imagine you get married and you're talking to your wife or husband and all you can say is, I love you. 3 minutes, I love you, I love you. She or he will say, I hate you. Now, tell me something else. I love you. Why? Because we don't have anything else to say. So we'll be dealing with things like ingredients in prayer. But today, I wanted to talk about why we need to pray. Amen. There are many reasons why we should be a people of prayer. And so many examples in Scripture. But a couple reasons why we should pray. Number one, prayer builds our relationship with God. Amen. Prayer builds our relationship with God. As we fellowship with God through prayer, we build an intimacy with God. God begins to reveal himself to us in ways we would never experience in a life without prayer. Child of God, we do not pray so we can impress God. Tell yourself, I do not pray or to impress God. Or I should not pray to impress God. Why? Because he knows us. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the very depths of your heart. He is the all-knowing God. Because the Bible tells us that even before you speak, I know what you're about to say. The Bible says, I know you're coming in and you're going out. Do you think God does not know your issues? He does. Do you think God does not know your needs? He does. The Bible says, for your Father knows that you are in need of all these things. But there's something that you need to do. You just need to lay yourself bare before him and be you before God. Because God knows your needs even before you ask. So when we pray, it is not just to inform him of what he does not know, because he already knows. So when we pray, friends, we get to experience his love. We get to experience his intimacy. We get to experience his fellowship. There is no greater experience, friends, than prayer to experience the love of God. If you build yourself a prayer life, trust me, you will never have to question yourself if God loves you. If you build yourself a prayer life, you will never have to doubt whether God exists or not. If you build a prayer life, you will never have to question why my prayers, oh God, do you hear my prayers? Because when you build a relationship with God, it is very easy for you to talk to God and for you to begin to hear the voice of God. Trust me, friends, many of us will say, I want to hear the voice of God. You are not going to hear the voice of God with 5 minutes of prayer every day. That is why Jesus, when he was with Peter, James, and John in the garden, he told them, could you not just pray with me for 1 hour? That suggests to me that there is a level of prayer that will usher you into the presence of God. Hallelujah, somebody. The Bible says that Jesus went into a solitary place and spent all night in prayer. In another scripture, we hear that Jesus, it was his custom, it was his habit to go out and pray for a long time by himself. Child of God, how is your prayer life? Trust me, when you build a prayer life, you begin to understand what Jesus means when he says you are the ecclesia. Matthew chapter 16 says, I will build my ecclesia. I will build my church. The ecclesia is a Greek word meaning my governing authority, my senate. When you look at the Capitol Hill, that is the ecclesia, the senate. And Jesus was saying, I will build my senate. I will build my governing authority, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But you cannot understand the meaning of church
until you understand and develop a prayer life with Jesus. Child of God, that is why today we struggle so much with church. Because to you and me, church is an event. Church is something we put on our calendar to go to. But Jesus says, church is you. You are the church. But you cannot understand that concept until you build a prayer life with God. It's kind of like how your body knows your food. How many of you here? If you stay for one day without eating, your body will tell you that you haven't eaten. At least one person. The rest of you, you are serious. How come you look so healthy? You don't eat. How many of us eat? Thank you for those hands. How many had something this morning? Why did you have something this morning? Your body told you. Okay. How many prayed before coming to church? You see, your body is conditioned to receiving what? Food, right? In the same manner, when you develop a prayer life, your body, rather your spirit, will be conditioned to receiving from God. So that if you go, I don't know if you're like me, but there are times I just wake up. In the night, I'm too tired. I'll pray in the morning. In the morning, after snoozing the alarm 15 times, I just jump up and go to the shower. I didn't pray. I'll just pray when I'm driving. When I'm showering, I'll just pray. No, in the shower is a good time to just worship God and trust, hear him, your voice. But in the shower, that's when you're... Trust me, your mind is not there. Because out of habit, you can pray in the shower with a determined focus that I'm praying to the Lord. But for many times in the shower, your mind is on, what am I going to wear? Oh, are my clothes ironed? In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for waking me up. As you are saying thank you for waking me up, your mind is like, my goodness, I'm so late. I don't understand. And God is saying, child of God, your mind is so cluttered, I can't hear you. Were you praying to me? When you hit into your car, you're driving. Yes, you can have some good times of prayer in the car as you're driving. You can have some serious moments of prayer in the car. But do not let those moments be the primary moments. Those must be the bonus moments. Tell your neighbor, those must be the bonus moments. I know somebody's going to tell me, no, but pastor, you see, that is the time that I have to myself in prayer. Exactly, in your car. Park your car then and concentrate. Because trust me, if you are praying, let's tell the truth. You are praying, but where is your mind? It's on the road. But God says when you come to prayer, what do I want? I want your spirit, I want your soul, I want your body. Let's be real. Let's be real. So, when your prayer time in the car, I'm not saying you cannot pray in the car. I'm saying you can pray as you drive, but let it be your what? Your bonus moments. Not your main moments. So, my pastor, you don't understand. My child cries when I come home. Exactly. Put your child to sleep and pray. But you don't understand. When I get home, my wife wants to offload all the problems of the day on me. Exactly. Put her on the calendar for the time that she needs to offload and then pray. Pastor, you don't understand. Exactly. God does not understand. See, we always want God to understand us. But when are we going to understand God? When are we going to understand his needs? It is always what I need. It is never what God needs. But God said, come to me. Come to me and be ye separate. What is he saying there? He's saying, come, let everything focus. Listen, when Jesus was training his disciples, he always used to take them to a place where there were no distractions. There were no distractions. Hallelujah. Look, there is a purpose for talking about this. What is the purpose? is that if you don't have a prayer life, do what? Develop one. If you have a lukewarm prayer life, do what? Increase the temperature. If you already have a hot prayer life, do what? Go to the next level. So each one of us in here, we have a place where we can step to into prayer. So number one, why should we pray? Prayer builds our relationship with God. It's kind of like having a girlfriend. Let me tell you, last week I was trying to give an example. I picked somebody else. So come. Now I'll pick this young lady here. Amen. So, you see, this young lady, I'm trying to build a relationship with her. I remember when I first met her, there were some people that were protecting her. Yeah, one of them is seated behind right there. Yeah. Checking, who is this little young boy? You know, I remember when I was going to check out this 18-year-old girl. She had some big sisters who wanted to make sure to see where the young guy is going. So that's how I met her elder sister. Praise the Lord, she's here for the wedding. I'm at the gas station. Amen. But listen to this, friends. I didn't just show up. Huh? I can ask my elder brother Ngona. Oh, my elder brother, Elder Dick here. You didn't just show up and say, now you. No, you had to build what? A relationship, right? You just don't care, you're my wife. You're my wife. No. Even if in your heart now you know that this is my wife, what do? You build rapport. Hi, how are you? What is your name? Yeah. After she gave me 3 dates and denied me the dates, finally, I got a date and, amen, look at her. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. So, what is it? Relationship. So, why do we pray? We pray because we want to talk to God. Sometimes you just come and say, Lord, I'm here. Lord, I'm here. And just stay there. Develop a time. Turn off your phone. Because many times we are praying and our phone is on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord in the name of Jesus. Hold on, Lord. No, listen. I'm in prayer. I'll call you back. See, even in the house of God, many times phone calls come and we leave the service to go and attend to the calls that are not even important. Oh no, it's a business call. Tell your business to call after. I'll lose it. But God is the one who gives you the business. I think we need to have an understanding of God's order in our lives. Then we'll have an understanding of prayer. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just saying if it is you, it's time to shift some things. If it is me, it is time to do what? To shift some things. Number one, prayer builds a relationship with God. If you don't build a relationship with God, trust me, you will be a Christian, but you will be on the periphery of what God is doing. And you start satisfying yourself with man-made satisfaction. You start satisfying yourself materially. Things many Christians, let me say this carefully because I don't want you to get it wrong. But we have taken our material prosperity. Hallelujah. We have taken our material prosperity or the prosperity of the flesh. Huh? And we have translated that into the prosperity of the Lord. Let me say it again. We have taken our material prosperity or the prosperity of the flesh and we have translated that into what? Into the prosperity of the Lord. And yet, God is saying, you are poor, you are naked, you are wretched. Help me. Revelation chapter 3, real quickly. So, pastor has been talking, not even one scripture. I've given you 15 scriptures already. I just didn't tell you where they are. Because maybe I don't even remember myself. Revelation chapter 3. Why would I give them to you if I don't remember? It means I read them before I give them to you, right? Revelation chapter 3. And look at this. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 16.
to verse number 18. Verse 16 to verse number 19. I'd like us to read together. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, pay attention to this. Verse 17, let's read together. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wait right there. Who was talking? Jesus. And when was he talking? After he has already gone to heaven. Not when he was here on earth. It was after he had gone to heaven. That's when he was talking. And he was talking to the church of Laodicea. The church of Laodicea was an age is related to our church age today, where material prosperity was primary. So church was something that people did because they felt, you know, they have to kind of keep up with their religion. And so Jesus comes and begins to tell them. He said, listen, church of Laodicea, I have noticed. I wish that you were hot or cold. But you are not, you are lukewarm. You are in the middle. What's the middle? I don't want to be hot for Satan. Because in case I may miss heaven, I can't be too hot because the pleasures of life have held me. So where am I? I'm in the middle. So some days I'm here, some days I'm not. So I'm lukewarm, I'm here. And so Jesus is saying, because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out. So child of God, let this be a warning. If you're a lukewarm Christian, examine your life. Examine yourself. Because trust me, God does not take lukewarm. Today the world will look at you, look at Pastor C and say, yeah, he's a Christian. He's a child of God. Hallelujah. But in the eyes of Jesus, lukewarm doesn't cut it. Is it me talking? Look at that. He says, why are you lukewarm? Because you say, it's in quotation marks. Who is it? You. You say, because I am rich. Your material prosperity, your fleshly prosperity is what you are taking. And as a result, you have become lukewarm for the things of God. I've become wealthy. Who doesn't want to be wealthy? The one talking, number one, wants to be wealthy. Everybody in here wants to be wealthy. If I say, who wants to be wealthy, many of you, you say, no, no, not me. I want to be holy. Yeah. We all must be wealthy. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:18 that he is the one who does what? Who gives us the power to create wealth. So wealth is godly. Amen. In case someone lies to you, wealth is godly. It is God who gives the power. But Jesus is saying, you have taken your material prosperity. You have taken the prosperity of the flesh and you have replaced it for me. You know, when the king, I think, was of Egypt or Babylon, he came to invade Jerusalem. You know what he did? He went, and they went and took all the gold that was in the temple. I don't know why I'm going there. Holy Spirit, help me. They went and took all the gold that was where? In the temple. Who put the gold in there? Solomon. So what did the king of Israel do? I think king of Israel, king of Judah. Because there was no gold in the temple, and God had demanded and created an excellent spirit in that place. Well, you don't create, you release an excellent spirit. The king went and took bronze. Somebody say bronze. You see, bronze looks like gold. Until it is put to the test. Until it is put what? To the test. My marriage almost ended before it began because of gold and bronze. That's a story for another day. Lord help me. I don't know where that came from. But I was trying to be wealthy. So I met some gold sellers. They sold me bronze. I took all the money in the bank. Everything. We're about to go and buy a plot of land. I said, honey, wait. We're about to be rich. I almost died of heart attack that day. But anyway, it's a story for another day. The king replaced the gold with what? Bronze. Bronze looks like gold. For many of us, before God, our worship is as bronze. We have replaced the gold of the temple with bronze. And we are operating in pseudo worship, pretend worship, pretend Christian life. We have put the bronze and removed
the gold. And he says, you have become wealthy. You have need of nothing. Trust me. I don't know about you, but me. I'm not talking about you. No, not you. You are not like me. When things are going so well in my life, prayer. Hey. Oh, no, I'm not talking about you. Prayer is very difficult. Because everything is going what? Well. How many of you think about prayer when things are rough? That's when you always, I need to pray. And when everything is going on well, it's always, Lord, thank you. I'm just passing by McDonald's. Bah. And God says, no. I had reserved 30 minutes with you. And he said, no, God, I'm so busy, you know. You don't understand. She just called, you know. I need to go. Many of us, our prayer life is only when we need something. That's when we want to start fasting. We want to cry to God. We want to do things when we are in need of something. Hallelujah. That's when we want to do. That's when we pray. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you've gotten to a place, you are lukewarm. You don't need anything. So the way you come to me is lukewarm. It doesn't cut it. Hallelujah. It doesn't cut it. He says, you have need of nothing. But you do not know that spiritually, materially you have everything, but spiritually you are what? You are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. But when we build a relationship with God, this will not be our issue. Look at verse 18. Let's read together. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Wow. How can you go and buy if you don't have a relationship? How can you be refined if there's no relationship? How can you be clothed if you don't have a relationship? How can your eyes be opened if you don't have a relationship? Friends, there are many reasons why we should pray. But number one, prayer builds a relationship with God. Prayer builds our relationship with God. Prayer is important to God. That was my number two point. But I'll build it up into just this one point. When we build our relationship with God, we need to understand that God expects our prayers. Look at Psalm 141 as I begin to wind up. Psalm 141, verse number 2. Now, before we read this, has anyone seen this anywhere? Have you seen this anywhere around here? Where have you seen it? Amen. It is one of the placards that we have in the church. Psalm 141 verse 2. Because we need to be people of prayer. What does it say? Let's read together. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Why should your prayer be set before God as incense? Because prayer is important to God. Amen. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse number 8. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 8. Let us read together. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Oh, where was that? Where were these angels?
Where were these angels? These angels were before the Lord. Amen? He says what? When he had taken the scroll, who had taken the scroll? Jesus. If you read Revelation chapter 5, you find that Jesus is the one who took the scroll. He says, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. These 24 elders, this is happening in heaven right now. This is not happening in future. This is happening right now. Somebody say right now. Right now. This is what's happening. The Bible says what? Each having what? A harp and golden bowls full of. Can you help me, please? I know you are hungry because you didn't eat, but let's finish together. Amen. We're talking about what? Prayer. Amen. So each having golden bowls. What was in the bowl? Incense. Which are the prayers of the saints. Now, remember Psalm 141 verse 2 said what? It said, let my prayer come before you as incense. Why? Because when my prayer comes before God as incense, it appears before God. So now let me ask you, those bowls, how many of your prayers are in there? How many of your prayers are in there? Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter number 8. And verse number 3. Revelation chapter 8. Verse number 3. Hallelujah. Let's read verse number 3 to verse number 4. Well, let's start from verse number 2 to verse number 4. Let's read together verse 2 to 4. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Where are these angels? They stand before God. Look at verse 3. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. Are your prayers found before God? You see why it is important for you and me to pray? Because your prayer comes before God. Not Pastor C's prayer for you, no. Your prayer, Pastor C's prayer adds on to your prayer. Child of God, if you don't have a prayer life, how are you going to appear before God? Your prayer is what brings you before God. I'd like to encourage you today. Remember what I said at the beginning. The purpose, as we learn about prayer, is that, number one, if we don't have a prayer life, it is not to condemn you. It's to say, from today, let me shift and let me develop a prayer life. Number two, if my prayer life is lukewarm, it is so that I do what? I shift and go to another level in prayer. And number three, if I have a very strong prayer life, as strong as your prayer life is, there's more that you can do. It is to say, God, take me deeper to you. Amen. Peter walked with Jesus. Amen. Did Paul walk with Jesus in the physical? No. But the revelations that Paul had, even Peter, who walked with Jesus for 3 years, whom Jesus gave to be the head of the church, even Peter said, the revelations that Paul has, even I don't understand them. Can you imagine that? Peter walked with Jesus. Every time I think about this. But Peter says, Paul says things that are hard to understand. Why? Because if you look at the life of Paul, Paul was a man that was completely given to Jesus. Completely given to Jesus.
to such a level that he was translated to the third heaven. The third heaven is where God dwells. Not this sky we see, no. Not the second heaven. The second heaven is where principalities are. And next week maybe we'll be dealing with that. Because many of us, we are praying, but our prayers are not going through. Why? Because the second heaven, we are not breaking through. But we'll deal with that another time. But Paul went to the third heaven. He said, the things I saw there, they are not even lawful for a man to talk about here on earth. Peter had never gone there until he died. But you and I, we have the ability and are able to go there through Jesus. Amen. But the key is to develop our prayer life. Shall we stand? We've talked about prayer. I've talked about so many things. Although I had 6 points, I believe the 1 point I gave was good enough for today. Amen. In another season, I'll give the other points. Maybe on Wednesday. I don't know. As the Lord leads, helps us. But remember this one thing. Prayer is important. Prayer helps to build our relationship with God. And many times because of our lifestyles, we have minimized prayer. But let's make prayer a priority in our lives. As Brother K just gives us a song, a worship song, I'd like us to just reflect on what we've learned today. Think about your own prayer life. And then you're going to pray just for a few minutes. You just pray. Just take a couple of minutes. As the song goes on, you just take a minute and just begin to pray. There are areas in your life, because even as I'm speaking, there are areas that the Lord is also telling me in my life to make some changes. As I've been speaking, perhaps you are in one of those three categories. Perhaps you are on fire for God and your prayer life has shifted. Just come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to get back on. Perhaps you've never really had a prayer life. Perhaps you first need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because you cannot be praying and connecting with God if He is not your Lord. Because you come to Him in repentance. So examine your prayer life. See where you are. Maybe you feel that you have a strong prayer life. But tell God, Lord, help me not to become self-righteous, to think that I'm better than others. Maybe there are areas where you're struggling in prayer. You want to pray, but every time you come to God in prayer, you're falling asleep. Every time you come to God in prayer, you're distracted. We dealt with some of that on Wednesday. But just come to God and say, God, help me in my struggles. At whatever area, let your prayer be, Lord, take me to the next level in prayer. Lord, grant me a prayer life. Help me to build a profitable relationship with you. Yes, I am a child of God. But maybe I don't have a relationship with God. Maybe because of life, maybe the challenges of life have become so disillusioned that it is difficult for me to pray. Because we fail to pray at two levels. Either we've become very successful or we've become very disillusioned with the challenges we're going through. Say, God, help me to see beyond my challenges. Help me to rekindle my prayer life. Or whatever area. But just take a minute and just pray. Just pray right where you are. Just pray. We have to remember that with God, it is an individual affair. With God, we don't go to God as husband and wife. We go to God individually. We don't go to God as friends. We go to God individually. So each one of us, we need to have our own open line with God. Our own open line. And this morning, the heavens are open. The heavens are open. Let's just talk to God.